One legend leaves and another enters the Thunderdome. We go straight to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. It is Burt Macklin. Long time no hear, Burt. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you all letting me join your show today.
Sorry, Nate ran out right before you called in. It's a shame.
It's sad. I wasn't actually, I haven't heard anything you all said today. As soon as I got in the car, not humble brag, but SiriusXM radio started playing, and it was just like hits of Creed. So I really couldn't change the station until that ended, and so I haven't had the opportunity. Hang on one second. I got to maneuver around this crackhead real quick.
Fair enough. Are you saying the humble brag was that you have SiriusXM radio?
Yeah.
That is kind of a, you're kind of a big deal.
They got me for like $5 a month right now. So that's like, I don't know, like, I feel like they laid out the red carpet for me in a way.
Especially if they're playing the Creed's greatest hits as you make your morning commute.
It's very true. Big win last night. I think you guys would be excited to see that I watched it. It was one of those things I had no idea the game was starting kind of thing, because they've maneuvered around. I've used maneuver twice now, but they keep changing the schedule because of all the weather.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So hopefully things go well moving forward. But no, there's a couple of stories that I was like just calling to check in on you guys with, see if you've been keeping up with them. First off, I would like to send my condolences to the Leota family. It's sad news, but
it feels like we're getting hit with the, like, and I don't say this as a joke at all, but we're getting hit with like the celebrity death way too often lately. And I know Ray Liotta did not have an extensive movie catalog. Apparently he was very, very selective with the movies that he chose to be in, but his role in Goodfellas may never be touched.
That's all you needed.
I mean, it just absolutely unbelievable performance. One of the greatest movies. I think I've seen that's a top five American-made movie of all time, and I would absolutely agree. I love that movie, and he was sensational in it.
It's up there with the Shawshanks and stuff like that.
Yeah, great flick.
I concur. But as far as other things I just needed to keep you all in the loop on, I don't know
yes, please.
If you guys have touched on this, but did you hear about the Japanese man who accidentally received his town's entire COVID stimulus package?
So, I saw the headline, Bert. This is actually a pretty great story.
Yes. As you all remember, early on in the days of COVID, whenever they decided to give out the stimulus checks in the United States, most Americans received $1,200. Well, in Japan, I don't know if this was their most recent round, but they were making sure that the town for low-income residents were able to receive a stimulus check of what would be the equivalent of $775 U.S. And instead of the entire town's residents getting all these checks, it just happened to go to one man named Sho Taguchi. So he ended up receiving...
What was that again? I'm sorry, I missed it. Sho Taguchi?
Sho Taguchi.
Nailed it.
In the city of Abu. So Taguchi received $360,000 U.S. dollars, which I believe is 51 million yen.
Yes.
Now,
they accidentally deposited all of the town's stimulus into this one man's account.
Yes. Now, I don't know who made that error, but I'd be curious to see if they still have a job. But, I mean, you know, normally whenever you have $360,000 just randomly pop into your account, you're probably like, hey, something's a little off here. I might need to say something to get things figured out. Or you could do what Taguchi decided to do, where he went to an online casino and managed to gamble away all $360,000.
So apparently, Bert, they contacted him, and he said, yes, there has been a mistake. Don't worry. I'm going to give all of this money back. And then when they come to collect, he said, oops, sorry, I don't have all of it. In fact, I don't have any of it. I've gambled it away on online poker.
Man, he's my new idol, dude. Like, you gotta respect the hustle.
The only thing I didn't like is that it was an online casino and he didn't go in person. Get him a new suit, you know, spaz it up a little bit.
I don't know, like, what the policy is in Japan. And, I mean, I haven't looked at that area. I don't know if it's, like, really far away from, like...
Oh, yeah, you did say he was in, like, a low-income outside the city area, right?
That's kind of what I was told again. Like, I mean, my Japanese geography is not the best. But I mean, I do know it's an island, you know, kind of just off of from mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy because on top of that, obviously he's being charged with fraud, rightfully so. But
I don't know. How does that work? If somebody deposits that money in your account, even if it's a mistake, like they put it in your account, like that's their mistake. It's my money now.
It is. No, that's not how it works.
Well, maybe it should.
But yeah, it should. But again, like while I might be a legal scholar, that does not translate to Japanese law. That's a whole other beast. But he is being charged with fraud. But my favorite part is how he said he is going to pay it back, as if like. It's like, what do you do here? You're just like, hey, we'll give you another $360,000. We're going to go double or nothing. Like, I mean.
That's what he did. Sounds like it.
So.
Wait. How did he say he was going to pay it back?
Yeah, he didn't. Okay. I don't know. I mean, if he did, it's like, I would like to hear his ideas. They're like, all right, like, while he goes before the judge, he has to, like, throw out like several ideas, and then they just like I guess debate which ones. It's like, all right, well, maybe we should let him try this. Obviously, I mean, I wouldn't let this guy do anything because he's not trustworthy at all. But I don't know. It's a fun story, you know. It just lighthearted. It's something that, you know, just makes you feel good on a Friday. At least you know you're not the one that like. Well, I also just like. I wonder how much time it took for him to blow through $360,000. I mean, was he going like? Big money right off the bat, like I mean, like $10,000 a hand. Like I don't know.
Well,
man,
yeah, that was my question too, because obviously that's not an insignificant amount of money, and he knew it wasn't his. So did this start off as like I'll go to the $5 table, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse? Or did he think I'm going to use this money to make some money, and eventually just blow through all of it because clearly he does not know how to gamble?
I mean. That happened to me early on with my bookie in blackjack, but I mean, I only like had $100 in the account at first, so it's a little different. But it was just like, oh man, I'm getting down. You know what? We're just going to go all in right here. Just put the entire bankroll on it. We get one, we're back up, we're good to go at that point. But no,
not for Taguchi.
No. In other news, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Martin Shkreli. Does that name sound familiar?
Oh yeah, the farmer bro.
Pharma bro, out of prison. First thing he decides to do, get a Bumble account.
Are you serious? That's the first thing he did?
I don't know if it's the first thing, but I mean, it happened very early. Like, within the first 2 days of him being released from prison, he had a Bumble account. There was an article about it I thought was funny.
Makes sense.
If you're not familiar with Martin Shkreli, he bought the rights to a prescription drug for...
it was HIV, I believe.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say AIDS or HIV, and I couldn't remember. The pill originally was like $1 a pill, and then he bought the rights to the, you know, to the medicine, and then started charging something like $1,500 a bottle.
I think it was a 5,000% increase overnight.
Yeah, which is like I don't know. Like there's scumbags, and then there's this guy. Like I can't stand him. Glad he went to prison. But the fact that. He gets out, and the first thing he does is make a Bumble account. That's pretty good. David, did you ever watch interviews with that dude?
Whoa. Bert. It's Bert.
What did I say?
Not Bert.
Did I say Dravy?
Dude, it's Bert. Come on, man. Got to keep a low profile.
Bert, did you ever watch interviews with Martin Shkreli?
I saw one, like, before he went to prison, but I haven't kept up and checked out if there's anything else he's been doing.
It's literally some of the most uncomfortable conversation I've ever had. Like, the dude has no soul.
He's definitely not someone I expect to see in heaven one day.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point by you.
But then I did have one. Actually, I don't know if I want to talk about that.
Do it. It's a fun Friday. A Freedom Friday.
Okay.
Attaboy.
Let's see here. Oh, yes. Okay, so you guys, you big cereal fans?
Like the food?
Yeah, like the food, cereal.
Hickman might not be because he doesn't like milk, but you don't like milk either. But, yes, I enjoy cereal from time to time.
Well, there's a new cereal in town called Period Crunch, and it's to help raise awareness so you can talk about periods at the breakfast table. And the cereal is uterus-shaped. Yeah, like Captain Crunch type stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where you can buy this, but just if that's something you and your family feel like you need to discuss at the breakfast table, then this is the cereal for you.
Bert, we used to have a producer that could not help himself when he would do something called the Depot without mentioning a part of the human anatomy, usually around the crotch region. Mm-hmm. I thank you very much for bringing my attention to this cereal that I will never purchase and or eat.
Served with ketchup.
It is a raspberry-flavored cereal, and it resembles the entire female reproductive system. And the Swedish company claims that conversations about periods are not truly normalized, so we got to start normalizing those things.
Raspberry? That's actually a good flavor.
Not a big raspberry guy.
I actually really enjoy that flavor a lot.
Hmm.
Not for cereal and this kind of cereal, though.
You going to go buy a big box of Period Crunch?
I doubt they would sell that here in East Tennessee, honestly.
I think you're probably right.
That's probably a New York, New Jersey, a California thing.
Now, it is wheat-based. I don't know if that's going to throw anyone off on wanting to try it or not.
Yeah, gluten allergies could be a problem.
But we're not worried about gluten. We're worried about talking about periods at the breakfast table, though.
Right.
So we got to normalize
right.
that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a hell of a sign-off, Bert. Anything else for us?
I hope the Vols are able to get an SEC championship this weekend. Looking forward, and I hope everybody has a happy Memorial Day weekend.
You as well, Bert. Always good to hear from you, buddy.
Gracias. Likewise, and I hope to talk to y'all soon.
Yeah, we got a normalized Bert calling in on a Friday. That was a series for a while, and then it kind of faded recently. I'm sure personal matters have gotten in the way. We'll see if we can't set that up.
What, did it take 2 weeks off?
I think it's been about two weeks.
Two, maybe three.
Maybe three. Sad, really. You think you know somebody. You think you trust them. We our callers are like family.
I mean, it's so inconsistent now. I got people like, hey, text me when that Bert guy calls in.
It's been a minute. Hickman, you teased a story about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
In the world of college baseball?
Yeah, just how umpiring is just ruining the game. Just terrible.
We will get into that and more after this quick break. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Three and Out continues in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Final call for phone calls, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program, talk about maybe Rick Barnes recruiting. A little Tennessee baseball as they get set tonight to square off against LSU for the first time this season. Projected first pitch around, what do we think, 8:30 or 9-ish, depending?
Probably.
There might also be a couple of run rule games today, so maybe those will happen. Get us on the field a little bit early. Speaking of on the field, Hickman, tell me about what happened in the TCU game. Do we know who was behind the plate?
No.
Was it Macias?
It's definitely not Macias.
Okay.
Probably some guy we've never had before, because I would say Big 12 umpires, you know, I'd say they send them like conference by conference. Like
I would imagine, but I really don't know.
Like basketball and football. But so the Hispanic Titanic was up to the plate. Best home run hitter in college baseball.
Yes.
Trying to see here in the video if I can see who's on base, how many outs is it, what inning. You can't really see that in the video, but TCU's coach.
Didn't they just hire someone last year?
Yeah, because they thought they had a shot with Tony V at one point.
Yeah, and their coach left for – wait, did their coach leave for – no, it wasn't LSU. Who hired TCU's coach last year?
Arizona?
That might be it.
Or A&M.
No, I think it was A&M. Because he's turned that program around.
Yeah.
I mean, they were. That was one of the most unathletic looking baseball teams in the Southeastern Conference last year, and now they won the West 2 seed in this tournament, and they look pretty good. They run ruled Florida yesterday 10-0 in 7 innings. So the Hispanic Titanic is at the plate.
Yeah, there's a guy on base, I believe. The TCU coach kind of comes out of the dugout a little bit. He hollers over to the pitcher and the catcher and points and, you know, kind of gives them the, hey, just intentionally walk this guy. Well, the umpire must have assumed he was yelling at him and just no hesitation looked at him and said, you're out. Tossed him.
So the coach sends in for the automatic walk.
Yep.
So he's signaling that to the ump, right? Because in college baseball, you wouldn't tell your pitcher that because they don't have to throw the pitches. You can just say, hey, we're walking this guy. So he tells the ump automatic walk, and the ump maybe heard something else, thought he said something else, thought he was coming at him about balls and strikes.
Let's see.
And then probably gave, I'm assuming he probably gave the coach absolutely zero chance to explain the situation.
Oh, no, I mean, he just kind of walked off, and you had other umpires getting in between him. He was chasing him down. Callum just informed me that home plate umpire was Casey Moser. First was Michael Banks. Second, Mike Morris. And third was Jeffrey Heinrichs.
Heinrichs. So...
And Morris is the one who tossed Ross Cavett.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
But, I mean, he's trying to let him have it, but they just, you know, the classic, hey, you can't talk to an ump without the other umps getting in between you
sure,
guys
sure.
and kind of just pushing you away.
Well, this has always been, like, one of the frustrating parts because we've seen this happen in, you know, in basketball. It's not as common in football, but especially in basketball where a coach is talking to a player and the ref will hear it. And without confirming, he just, like, tees up someone on the bench. But then the coaches are upset that they get the tech, and so they get frustrated and try to argue back. But at that point, the ref's not interested in listening. So because he tossed him, I'm sure the head coach was furious, which makes it look like he was coming at the ump the whole time.
Yeah, and that's not the case.
There has to be some type of I don't necessarily want to call it an appeal process, but like a – hey, and it's going to be very tough for a coach. Like, if they get tossed, even if it's completely, you know, illogical, stupid.
You're going to be mad.
You're going to be furious.
It's not like you can have a reasonable conversation about what happened after that with anybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when Tony got tossed against Alabama. He's out there. He's not, considering how far we've seen Tony go when talking to an ump, he's out there. That was a pretty calm Tony Vitello.
I mean,
and then he gets tossed, and you see him go nuclear because it's like, wait a minute, I'm out here having a conversation. I'm not kicking dirt on your feet.
Macias is the reason that turned into what it was.
Oh, 100%.
Solely on him. Tony Vitello did nothing wrong to warrant getting tossed, and then Macias just had to go on his little power trip.
And then then Tony got his money's worth with the chest bump.
Oh, he got his money's worth. But, like, yeah, TCU's coach, like, you see him throw up the sign, I guess, to the umpire, and, like, he's just standing there, just casually throws up the sign and just.
Did you say he came out of the? Is there some rule that you can't come out of the dugout towards the ump or something like that? I mean, if you're literally on the top stair. If you're just trying to, if you're just trying to get his attention, I don't think that would matter either. So I'll have to check out that video. But this is exactly what we talked about yesterday, especially in baseball. Like, I think everyone's just always very on edge in baseball, and at the first sign of, you know, disrespect, people kind of lose their minds. Even if it, in this situation, it's perceived disrespect, and the guy was actually just saying, hey, we're walking the best. Like, if you're an ump and that guy's at the plate, don't you kind of realize, you got to kind of keep an eye over to the dugout and say, hey, this guy is pretty good. Are you guys going to walk? Like, if I'm the ump in that situation, I'm probably looking over there like, hey, you guys should probably walk this guy. Because what 27
home runs, and he had a guy on base.
Yeah, give me a break. Like, that's obvious.
It's just not the coaches. Like, players are affected by this too. I mean,
who ended up winning that game? Do we know?
I don't know the score. I'll check. But like Dolander, you know, bad umping costed him a 6 perfect innings the other night.
Yeah, on the awful. There was another one of those last night where Tidwell got rung up on a walk and. Kyle Peterson, who I just think that guy's one of the best, but he's just saying that's an awful call. That's a strike, and then he comes back with another one that's a little bit off for ball 4 that he could have also called a strike, and that's when you saw Chris Burke and KP both get onto that ump for you missed ball three bad. You could have made up for it on ball four and called it a strike, and you didn't. And that's just, you know, that's when Frank Anderson got livid with a few choice words from the dugout.
Texas won 5-3, by the way.
It was Texas TCU?
Yeah, Texas TCU.
Sad. I don't think I realized that the Hispanic Titanic played for Texas.
Yep.
Did we see him at Minute Maid?
I would say we did. I don't remember. But, I mean, it was early in
the
season.
Yeah, at the time, he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't.
I don't remember anyone hitting a home run against us.
I really can't. I know we did we hit one in that game? I can't remember.
I think it was just a lot of small ball, I guess.
It's been so long ago. Speaking of big guys and home runs, Brett brought this up earlier, and I saw it last night. I thought it was pretty funny. Did you see what Tony Vitello said about Sonny DeShera?
Yeah, I believe I saw what you're talking about.
So, obviously, Tennessee fans, I don't think they blame Sonny DeShera. No. I don't think they blame Dylan Cruz, but very upset that Trey Lipscomb did not win SEC Player of the Year. Although, in fairness, he may end up winning National Player of the Year. But until that happens, I think there's going to be a little bit of a vendetta against Sonny DeShera and Dylan Cruz. Tony Vitello said, I don't know if he was asked about Sonny DeShera or if it just kind of came up, but he said, if Tennessee fans knew how much I love Sonny DeShera, they'd probably slash my tires.
Hey, that's smart, though, for Tony V. You're always recruiting, you know?
Well, always be recruiting.
ABC. Did you take Sonny DeShera in the portal?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, though, like, because he's not, I mean, he's a good first baseman. He doesn't have to do much, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but with the style of ball Tennessee plays.
Don't think he'd really fit in?
I'm not saying he wouldn't fit in, but, like, who would you rather have on first base next year? Blake Burke, Sonny DeShera.
Well, give me Burke, but just have a DeShera DH the whole year.
Now, that would be, that'd be, but if he's not hitting bombs, he's getting out.
Yeah. I mean, he can't. I don't think he'll probably never have a double in his life.
I think he has one double on the year, I think.
And that thing must have really just bounced off a wall or took a crazy hop.
Just that sideways bounce.
Everybody loves Sonny D, you know. And you know, when
he's got a good name. He's a jovial guy, obviously jolly. Big,
and he's a
big
bigger guy.
And
like,
he's a big guy. He's not bigger. He's big.
Yeah, he's huge. And like, when there's a big guy in sports like that, like, everybody just kind of latches onto him.
Yeah, like it's like the NFL. Anytime an offensive lineman scores a touchdown or a big defensive lineman, they call it, you know, the fat guy touchdown. Like, everyone loves it.
In baseball, like David Ortiz, he was a huge guy.
Right.
Everybody instantly just kind of started latching on the David Ortiz. He became a fan favorite.
As Pujols has gotten bigger, it's funny now to watch him try to steal bases. It's like, dude, you're not the athlete that you were. I mean, Babe Ruth was a big guy. That's why he started hitting home runs, because he was pigeon-toed and big. Did you see the ball Sonny D hit? It wasn't yesterday. It had to be the day before.
When they were playing Kentucky. That Kentucky pitcher had been doing so good up until that point, too.
I mean, that was an absolute
missile.
Mash. Absolute mash. Like, I like watching that guy play. I don't know that he'd be the perfect fit at a place like Tennessee, but I also kind of get the argument to be made for him and Dylan Cruz. Like, those two offenses without Sonny DeShera and Dylan Cruz, they're just
nothing.
You know, they lose so much with one guy out of the lineup. At Tennessee, you take out Trey Lipscomb, and I love Trey Lipscomb. This is not a knock at all. It's just the rest of his teammates are so good.
Yeah.
That it's almost like his value gets.
You're punished for being so good.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, like, the punishment for Trey Lipscomb was that without him, this team is still very, very, very good. And those two guys make their teams that much better, even though they still don't come close to as good as Tennessee is.
I like the idea of Trey playing with a chip on his shoulder, though.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And that barehanded play last night,
spectacular.
That was. He didn't send it, but that was basically a middle finger to anybody who didn't vote for
him.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the best defensive plays of the season, which is weird. Lately, it feels like we've seen maybe some of our best defensive plays of the year. You had the Drew Gilbert dive snag. What was the last out of the Mississippi State series? Was that Christian Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he dives and goes crazy.
It was also Christian Moore who
against Florida, right, in the wall. Yeah. Like, I don't remember that many, you know, spectacular.
Jordan Beck diving and into the wall against Kentucky, the saving a home run there.
And that's a scary thought And maybe we just didn't need it earlier, but it feels like the back half of the SEC schedule especially, you're seeing some really flashy defensive play. Again, and not to beat a dead horse here, but like Kyle was saying, like Chris Burke was saying, Tom Hart, there's really no weakness. With the exception of maybe, you know, base runners.
Yeah, Evan Russell.
And then last night, what does he do, right?
Like he threw a guy out.
Yeah, one of his best throws of the year. It's like you're... Dare say it, Hickman? Are we peaking at the right time?
Maybe. I told you a couple weeks ago, it's like, you know, you had your initial huge outburst to start the season where you won, like, what, 29 in a row or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I think they lost, what, 4 out of 10?
Yeah, you got a little bit of a reality check there. You still were playing really good baseball. You were still the best team in the country. But, you know, the last couple of weeks, Mississippi State, some of your midweek games, Belmont, you know, they were a really good team. What you did to Vanderbilt last night. We peaked. We kind of went back down into the valley, and we might be damn near back to the peak now.
Or beyond.
Or like beyond.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. It was what, 6-2, 5-2, 5-0, and last night you beat them 10-1.
Yeah. And they're playing better baseball now than they were then.
Yeah. I mean, they're coming off a really bad weekend at LSU, but they've been a lot better since you beat them in Nashville. Very impressive performance last night. We'll hit a quick break. Come back. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Hour 3 rolls on in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Tennessee LSU tonight from Hoover, Alabama. Weather today looking like it will cooperate. Dude, seriously, I know it doesn't matter. I know it's the stupidest thing in the world. Tennessee takes the field yesterday, and the sun came out and stayed out, and it was... Oh, my God.
That's because Tim Corbin's Mother Nature, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he looked like a... Well, I'm going to save words here, but... Did you read the article on him? Was it last week, by the way? I guess it was after they got swept by LSU. He didn't talk to the media.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
And he sent the players, and then they asked him about it, and it was actually pretty surprising. So you might like him more after I tell you this. He's from Boston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like he'd be a Boston guy.
Yeah. You can't notice it as much on TV. When I used to work at a radio station in Nashville, I'd have to call him for a weekly interview. And back then it was a little bit thicker on the accent. But he said after Vanderbilt loses a game, any game, he said, I love my players because they can bounce back so fast. But when we lose a game, it takes me time, lots of time. And he said, I care about this bleep. This bleep matters to me. Like, he got really kind of candid for the first time, because normally he's kind of calm, cool, and collected. But I thought that was pretty interesting. And then last night, obviously, he had a lot of really good things to say about Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, he kind of is backtracking on some of the stuff in the past. Like, he's brought up the bad issues with us 2 times.
I don't know.
And you think, like, now it's like, oh, maybe these guys are here to stay. They're not going anywhere.
Well, I think whether he's alluding to that or not, I think he knows that, right? Like, I think in Tim Corbin's heart of hearts, he realizes
that he's got a big problem now.
Yeah, the advantages that he enjoyed for so long are now completely negated by NIL. I mean, I don't remember the exact system, but due to the financial stipend situation at Vanderbilt, like, he could basically have
a full scholarship team.
Yeah, or close to it, right? And all the other schools in the SEC were dealing with some ridiculously low number, like 12 scholarships.
11, I believe, was the number.
Yeah, like 11 and a half for 35, 45 guys. I'm not sure what the exact number is. But now with NIL, and which was going to even it out a little bit no matter what, but now you also add in the fact that Tony Vitello's at Tennessee. Our fan base is... I don't want to say desperate for a winner, but if something at Tennessee is good, like, Tennessee fans are going to show up. They're going to show up infinitely more and be infinitely louder than Vanderbilt fans. I mean, we were the first team to crack the code of the Vandy Whistler last night and essentially shut him down, and then our team shuts down Vanderbilt. So if I'm Tim Corbin, I don't think he's been disrespectful towards Tony to this point, but he hasn't also been complimentary the way he was last night. And I think last night might have been a slight tip of the cap and I don't want to say he's letting everybody know that he's toast, but you could tell this season, especially after the four games against Tennessee, that he realizes, like you said, he's got a big problem in Knoxville. And really, as good as things are right now, like, this program under Tony Vitello is kind of just getting started. I mean, last year you saw the attendance really pick up about midway through. We added bleacher seats. Every game's been sold out. The regional's going to be sold out. If we make the supers, it's going to be sold out. Hoover, I'm telling you, tonight is going to be a bunch of orange in the stands, and it's only going to get more as the weekend goes on, as Tennessee continues to advance. And I think, like, yeah, we don't have the biggest stadium. We don't have the nicest stadium. Like, shouts out to LSU, Mississippi State. You guys have, you know, you've had your success in the past. You've built great programs. Good fan bases, especially Mississippi State's fan base in baseball. I think that's been a nice surprise. But, like, Tennessee's coming for that. You know, I don't know what the number's going to be at Lindsey Nelson by the time they get everything done, but we are going to make that a spectacular venue for college baseball. I mean, you can't dump $63 million into that stadium and not make it a cathedral.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, what Florida just built theirs for 62,
and that was from scratch.
Oh yeah, it was dirt, and now it's that.
Yeah,
Oklahoma State just built theirs for 58
from scratch.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so like this thing's going to be absolutely amazing by the time it's done. I have no doubt. I hate that it's going to take as long as it's going to take.
2 more years.
Yeah, I think they can start at the end of next season.
Which we'll be playing baseball into June at home next season. So.
That's the plan.
Hopefully.
That's the plan.
And if you look at it, like, what Tony Vitello's done here is just, it might be the best, well, actually, outside of, like, Pat Summitt, you know, what she did for women's basketball, this is the best coaching job we've seen at the University of Tennessee ever.
And it's so tough in baseball, right? Like, in basketball, you can have three really good players and a bunch of role guys, and if you get a good coach in there, you can make that team pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you find a couple of diamonds in the rough, like what Bruce Pearl did, like I'll still think, and I'm not comparing Tony and Bruce per se, but that first season under Bruce Pearl was, I'd never seen anything like that, at least not at Tennessee, because that team the year before was just, like, yeah, you had Lofton, he was hitting threes, but they just weren't a good basketball team. They did a lot of things wrong, and when Bruce comes in and then gets a two seed in the first year, the whole season was a sit back and like, how is this even possible? And you can't do that in baseball, right? Like,
no, you have to. It's a slower build.
Yeah, you can't just inherit a bad team and all of a sudden make them great. It takes more time.
Especially in the conference we're in.
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's why I give the A&M coach a lot of credit with the transfer portal. He was able to go get a lot of guys and really turn the roster over. It wasn't that easy for Tony when he got here. You couldn't just go and one time transfer a bunch of guys. You had to build it. You had to coach. You had to recruit. And then they had to kind of find, as he said the other night, and I thought it was really well said, like, obviously LSU is like historic royalty in the conference. Mississippi State, you know, defending champs, kind of royalty in the conference. Like, what are we going to be? And he said, I had to find guys with attitude. We had to create a swagger and an attitude and an aura about us where, you know, we weren't going to just be talked down to. And here we are, what, 4 years later, and season's not over, but you're the number one team in the country. You looked like $1 million last night, and you've got an opportunity again tonight. You think about the last three teams we faced, Mississippi State, defending champs. You beat Vanderbilt last night, which
lost in the championship game.
Yeah, and especially recently has been, you know, one of the more dominant programs in the country. And then tonight you get, like, the SEC legends – LSU, who, by the way, you sent home last year and got their coach basically sent out the door. I mean, tell me this isn't a program, a team, and a coach really making a name for themselves.
And Vitello, he works his ass off better than anybody.
Did you see after the Mississippi State series?
He flew out to a tournament.
Yeah. And then he flew into Atlanta and was going to recruit a kid like the next day while the team's basically busing to Hoover.
Yeah.
The work ethic is insane.
I saw somebody that they said, you know, at like the elite high school baseball tournaments, they said you'll see some head coaches there every now and then.
Yeah.
Usually, like, it's assistants or they have guys they send that work for them. But this guy, he said, Tony Vitello, he said, every time you turn around at any tournament, Vitello's there, and that he just works his tail off, just nonstop. Like, that's all he does. He eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball, And it's paying off. He's been the if this was a TV show, if college baseball is a TV show, Tony Vitello has been the main character this year.
Yeah.
I mean, always in the headlines. We're the best team.
And it's funny, like, obviously the opponents hate the bat flips and the jackets and the hats and all that stuff, but the casual, just broad fans of college baseball, like, this team is now the star of the country. I mean, the D1 baseball got the pitcher for Virginia last year. I mean, like, everybody who loves college baseball, even if they have their team that they're rooting for, they're looking at Tennessee right now and thinking, holy cow. I forget the guy's name. I mentioned it earlier. He tweeted out last night, like, why am I even watching college baseball?
That was Ben Upton, I believe.
Yeah, Upton. Tennessee is the best team in the country. They're going to win the national championship by 10 runs. Like, this season is over. I mean, yeah, maybe it's one of his, like, attempted jinxes or whatever, but, like, that's what everybody's watching right now. They're watching Tennessee because they're fun, they're good, but right now I think a lot of people are wanting to see history be made.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's on a great pace to do that.
And, like, we have the Kentucky effect, where, like, the Tom Brady effect, you know, people will tune in just to watch in hopes of you losing.
I'm surprised you made it 2 hours and 45 minutes without mentioning Tom Brady. That is probably a record for this show. You were holding that in.
There we go.
Like a pee on a car trip, and then finally you just had to pull over and get that out of your system, didn't you? That was impressive. By the way, did you see the articles that hole-in-one he hit was complete BS?
I don't trust the media these days.
Fake news? Is that what you're
calling? Yeah, probably. Okay. It's Tom Brady.
We'll hit a quick break. Come back. Wrap up the last segment of the day of the week. Final segment of the day of the week. It's 3 and Out Fan Run Radio. It is a game day. Time not officially set, other than 30 minutes after the 5:30 game.
Late.
It'll be later. What is the game before us?
Let's see. Who's not? It'll be A&M, right? They've not lost.
Correct. And
A&M
Bama,
versus,
right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Because Bama's not lost either yet?
No.
Because you got Arkansas and Florida. Which I wouldn't be surprised if
Arkansas, Florida, Vandy, Auburn?
Vandy, Kentucky.
Vandy, Kentucky, that's right. Kentucky lost last night, Auburn lost.
So Auburn's out?
Yeah, because and the way the schedule got switched, that first game that Auburn lost was a single elimination, even though it was played on a double elimination day. With all the pushbacks and postponements and delays, it's been kind of tougher to follow this bracket in my head. But tonight, a big one. First meeting against LSU of the season. They took down Kentucky last night 11-6. Second best offense in the SEC. Our stat correspondent, Brett Hollander, with the information. Going to be a good test. You know, we were talking during the break about how once you get to the postseason, things kind of change. And in the regular season, especially on a three-game series, you really want to win that Friday night matchup, right? You want to get the upper hand, try to take the series. If you can get that first win, obviously the odds are really good. Now that we get into postseason, it kind of switches. You want to win every game, obviously, but you also want to have pitching, really good pitching available in a championship game or a semifinal game type scenario. From all accounts today, it will be Chase Dolander on the mound. How long the or what the pitch count, I suppose, goes to, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how the game goes. But this is going to be a really good test for Dolander. Again, second-best offensive team in the SEC up against the best offensive team in the SEC in Tennessee. I don't know where LSU ranks defensively as far as, you know, pitching and everything. But
and, I mean, heck, they're probably on their, what, third arm of the week, fourth arm?
I mean, they're definitely deeper than us.
This is their, what, third game, right? Yeah.
I think it's just their second.
But I mean, the good thing about Dolander is, like, you probably want to keep his pitch count down tonight just in case you need
him. Just in case, yeah. I think so, too.
Which, I mean, he is a strike thrower, so, which could come back to kind of hurt you tonight, maybe.
No, you're not wrong.
Powerful offense.
Like, that's the beauty and the blessing and the curse, right, of throwing strikes is you're going to get a lot of strikeouts, but when you do get especially a good offensive team like LSU, there's a chance that they could, you know, touch him up a little bit, as we say. But I also think that his stuff has been so good, even in the strike zone with the movement. You know, his off-speed stuff has really come along from the start of the year. Like, again, it's like I told Nate earlier, I'm not worried about anything until there's something to worry about with this team. And that's like an in-game scenario. If we go out there and we play like Tennessee has played all season, eh. Like, yeah, is LSU going to score a few runs? Sure. But if we do what we need to do on the mound and at the plate, I think Tennessee's going to be just fine. Hickman, do you have a prediction for tonight? And obviously, like Nate did the scores for games that he doesn't even know who the opponent's going to be, but just a prediction for the weekend.
Let's see. I think I sold a short yesterday, so I'm going Vols 9, LSU 3.
Okay.
When we are back in here Tuesday morning, we'll be celebrating an SEC championship.
It'll feel good, won't it?
I don't know if we'll win every game. I don't know if we'll drop one. I don't know anything besides the fact that we are winning the championship.
I can't. It's been a long time, and they used to do these weird, like, East and West turn. Like, it's just been strange. But to win the SEC basketball tournament this year, first time in, was it 42 years?
I thought it was like, yeah, 42, 43, 44.
Yeah, like, yes, it's the SEC basketball tournament. No, it didn't help us in our seeding, even though it probably should have. But it felt good just to say we're the champs. Obviously, this team has already captured the regular season crown.
We might be going 2 of 3 for the major sports.
I know. That would feel really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I've got Tennessee tonight 10-5. LSU's pretty good offense. They may even have an early lead, but I think this team has just been, like I said, the way you guys have been talking about, just get me to the postseason, I'm done with the regular season, I think you saw a little bit of that set in with this team.
Yeah.
And now I think that the postseason is here.
They're locked in.
They're like a bunch of caged animals, and we just opened the gate. Tennessee tonight, 10-5, and I agree with you, Adam. I think by Monday morning we will be drinking, as Russell says, from the keg of glory. Tennessee wins the SEC tournament, in my prediction, as long as weather permits and nothing crazy happens. Adam, appreciate it. Brett, thank you as always. We will do this again Tuesday.
Yep.
But we're going to be celebrating Monday morning. Don't worry about that. The Blitz is next. Fan Run Radio.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best.